I'm in a New York state of mind. Just you up in my love, all over your body. Hey now, don't dream it's over. That's how to keep you. We're gonna turn and work and turn, oh, honey.
Hello, welcome to Glee Chat, episode 66. This is Mitch hosting this episode because a lot of things have happened that haven't allowed John to be on, so you get to hear my lovely voice for a good hour and a half. And we have one other host today on Glee Chat, that is our new host, Jack. Jack, how are you doing?
Good, how are you?
Great, great. I know that we had to wake you up early to get this recording done, but it's important to get this episode out for our Corey recap, because the episode that we're going to be doing for the tribute episode for Corey Monteith honestly deserves to be its own recap, so that's the reason we're all kind of gathering together right now. And when I say us all, I really just mean me and Jack. So that's okay. All right. So
it feels like we should be talking about Pokemon.
It did. And I almost for a second almost said, hey, welcome to PokeChat episode 66. And I had to stop myself. That's funny. All right. So, Jack, what do you say we just jump right on to Glee episode 502, Tina in the Sky with Diamonds?
I say let's do it.
Well, let's do it. All right. So
play after it.
The episode opens up as Sam is talking to Blaine, and he asks him things like how gay marriage works, which spouse takes which's name, and then Sam reveals that he's the one that's going to be going to prom with Tina. Jack, are you still a little bit off-put by that? You're a loser, Tina, so we'll go with your date.
What was your question? Am I off-put by Tina?
No, it was like actually the worst worded question in my life. Let me restart it. Are you off-put by everyone calling Tina a loser? Basically?
Not really. I mean, I'm a very, very, very big fan of Tina. Or I always sort of have been, like, from the very first episode when she sang I Kissed a Girl.
Yeah.
So it's not surprising that everyone still thinks that she's unpopular, because the show has never made a point to say that she's popular, even though the Glee Club was, you know, goes back and forth with how good they are.
Yeah,
but I'm not really annoyed by it, because it's what we're sort of expected to be seeing in the story.
All right, that's game. That's fair enough, because basically you're saying she's been built as this character that no one's going to care about, or if they do, they're going to belittle her. She's like that comedic relief.
Yeah, and as we've seen in the episode, like, she's been a bit of a bitch lately. I mean, I'm not saying she in any way deserves what happened to her, but she has been quite rude to people, which would make people be rude to her back.
Yeah, and I really didn't like when last season she was doing something extremely horrible. I can't remember what it was about. I don't think it was about Blaine. She wasn't being a bitch about that. She was more of just taking sexual control in a direction where she shouldn't have. But there was something she was just being really mean about. Do you remember what it was, Jack? She was just, like, off-putting me in the end of season 4 with something horrible. It was Solos. I think the whole season she was all about, I want to be the new Rachel still, even when Blaine won that.
She was sort of like, she had a change in attitude throughout the whole season, but I think it was just like based on, like, it was her time to shine, which is actually continuing in through on this episode. But like, there was a few things like that she'd say that were unnecessary. Like in the Stevie Wonder episode, she was sort of jabbing fun at everyone, and then asked why Kurt was down, and then, you know, that was the episode that he came down for Bert because he had cancer. Has cancer, but
point. He still has cancer. We don't know what's going on with that. Unfortunately, there's no more reveals about his condition
episode. It's in remission. It's in remission.
Oh, so was that like a barely mentioned thing in episode 1 of season 5? Did I miss that?
No. So in episode 10... in the Christmas episode, we learn that he has cancer, and then it doesn't get mentioned at all until episode 21, where Sarah Jessica Parker mentions it, and then the next episode it gets revealed that it's just in remission.
How in the bloody hell do you know those episode numbers off the top of your head? That's just inhuman. You know that,
right?
No,
I actually screwed that up. It was episode 20 where Sarah Jessica Parker says it, and then 21 is where...
I mean, I trusted you. You could have just gone on it. I'm sure no one would have caught you for the better.
I'm sure people would have. I know this fandom.
All right, so then Sue comes over to the PA as they're all hanging out in the hallway. As the new principal, she's giving announcements all the time and has absolute power over McKinley High School. She talks about a Brendel prom coming up. All right, I don't know what the word Brendel refers to. If it's something to do with Beatles, then I don't know what it was. What is it, Jack?
I didn't catch the reference either.
No, I didn't either.
It says Brundle, like Brundle, like a mixed together kind of prom, I guess. I don't know. It was clearly just a way for them to say, this is why the rest of the Glee Club is going to be there, as well as Bree, as well as Dottie. And that's why Kitty is able to be nominated for prom queen.
Oh, so basically she's saying, we have a mixed pot for the people going to prom and the ones nominated, so it's a Brendel prom.
Pretty much. And that annoyed me a bit, because if in my last year at high school, if they were to say, yep, we're going to allow every single other year from year 8 to year 12, or year 8 to year 11, which is the rest of the high school, come to your year 12 ball, I'd be like, no, you can just F off. this is like for us to be together. And that's why I really did appreciate Kitty saying that she was going to let Tina have a chance, because she even said she's got many years left to be nominated. So that
right,
was
right,
nice.
But hey, don't jump ahead there, because we haven't talked about who's nommed for each king and queen.
Oh.
All right, we'll get to that in just a second. Don't worry. So we have, for the king nominations, Blaine, Artie, a guy named Muhammad, who's an unseen, unknown character, up until the end, actually. And then Stoner Brett, who's been a running gag since, I'd even say, season one. He's always kind of shown up to be, like, just that, you know, burnout character. He's kind of fun. The queen nominations were Kitty, Amy, a random Cheerio that seems to be friends with Bree, Jordan, who is Neck Brace Girl, and Tina. I'm really happy that Neck Brace Girl was one of the nominated people. It made me laugh, because I like whenever she shows up and has, like, a somewhat relevant plot element.
Yeah.
The big storyline, as Jack was talking about, is that Tina is the one that is going to be focused on during this nomination run. So the first thing that she does is that she declines Sam's acceptance to prom. So basically she's like, well, you're the loser now. I'm going to flip the tables. And she says that she is going to take all the single gals to prom so that she can win the wallflower vote and therefore win. She starts to sing Revolution in the choir room, but she gets cut off by the bell and it's like, come on, where's everyone going? Wah. I wonder if Revolution was released on iTunes in full. Was it, Jack?
It wasn't, but I want it to be so bad. Because when I heard, because I remember like ages ago in like the hiatus when it got revealed what Beatles songs they were doing, and Tina was doing Revolution, and I was so excited, I was so keen. And then as it kept getting released, like, there was no songs of her singing Revolution. So I really wish this does get put on iTunes, because the way it was sounded, it was like a proper recording. So there's no reason why they shouldn't put it all on iTunes. Because, like, to me,
I believe it's not a proper recording.
No, what I mean is, like, it's not like she was singing it live in the choir room.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the acoustics did sound pretty good for the whole 2 seconds of
it.
It sounded
excellent. Like, her vocals sounded so good on this song, and it was really, really good. And
we're analyzing 2 seconds of a song. I love it.
I don't care. I love Tina and the Beatles.
So yeah, Revolution never happens, and I'm shocked that they announced that this is one of the songs that was going to be covered in the episodes for the Beatles, because why market it and get people excited? Like, poor little old Jack over here.
They didn't.
Well, you said that they listed all the songs that they were doing for the episodes. Glee did.
No. In the hiatus, like, spoilers were saying that the Revolution was going to be done. They said all of the songs they have done, the Tumblr blogs I follow said that they were going to be doing this song as well as the ones that they covered in the episode. And then as like the iTunes like album, like the official album was being released, Revolution wasn't on there. So I was confused as to why that said it was going to be on there, but it wasn't. And then it started playing. So I just am annoyed that it wasn't released properly. Especially when this episode is actually fully about Tina and she never had a full solo. Whereas like Sam was singing something to Penny and like that was his part of the episode. I don't know.
Yeah, well, Sam was definitely the bleep plot. I like that. It's kind of a gleam B plot. Sam was the bleep plot, but I don't know if that works for A. a Lee plot was Tina, and I am surprised I agree that she didn't get Revolution as her full song simply because of that. So the action cuts away from all this Tina prom king queen nomination drama to the diner. The big drama here this episode is the new relationship between Santana and Danny. Danny is played by my favorite singer-songwriter actress, Demi Lovato of Camp Rock fame from Disney Channel. Yeah, I love that chick. So this is where we hear more about Santana's recent job endeavors. Although she's not really doing anything on stage, she is doing commercials, and one of them is a yeast infection commercial. It was great, actually. The way it was put together was awesomely satirical. I loved every single second of it. And there was a really funny line where, as she's holding up the box, you know, looking into the camera, and she says, "I like yeast in my bagel, but not in my muffin." I was like, that was good writing.
I freaking love this commercial. It was so funny. I've watched it probably about, like, 20 times. Like, just, it's absolutely hilarious.
You're obsessed.
And the way, I just freaking love Santana and Naya Rivera. The way she was swinging on that swing and, like, her face, you know, she was sort of just, like, making fun of it. It was just so funny.
Yeah, it was hilarious.
But it makes me wish that she would, like, pursue these funny commercials instead of dancing, because they were just absolutely hilarious.
It seems like it's something that every actress is going to have to do. If you think back to Smash, when they were trying to get on Broadway, and I know that both Megan Hiltzi's character and Catherine McPhee's characters were both going out for an orange juice commercial, and then Catherine McPhee wins it. She thinks it's a big prize, and she goes around and has to wear, like, a green suit because she's going to be a floating face in the commercial and stuff. And it's just funny to me, like, the lengths that Broadway actors seem to go to become a more well-known star. And if you think about it, there are international stars from commercials, and the best example is always Flo from the company. I can't remember his name. See? I mean, she's more famous than the company itself. Progressive, I think. Right, Jack? You know them too, right? Those commercials?
Yeah, the commercials like these are, you know, stigmated for being funny and ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. I think it's not a bad idea for Santana to do commercials like this if she's looking to become a little bit more famous, because then people would want to go see the yeast infection girl and all that stuff.
You know what that reminds me of? You've seen Friends, all of Friends, haven't you, Mitch?
I watch reruns, so I catch it randomly.
Okay, well, there's an episode where Joey, I'm pretty sure it's like a gonorrhea commercial or something.
Oh God!
And like, and then he gets really like embarrassed because he thinks that's all he's going to be pegged for is like the gonorrhea guy, or like the herpes guy. Something, I don't know. It's something to do with like a sexual disease. But also, I was going to say, like what you were saying before about Smash. I mean, I've never seen Smash, but if you want to keep it in the lines of Glee, it could also be related to how Rachel she was having that debate about being shirtless in the episode Naked in season 4.
Yeah.
And, like, that was sort of, could, like, given her, like, a, I don't know what the word is, but like, that could have stuck with her for a while. Like, this could stick with Santana. Even though this isn't really, I don't know, like, exposing, unless you count running through a field exposing.
You know, no, it's not exposing, but it's somewhat explicit because of the innuendos that she uses in the commercial. So I'd say that Glee's going to carry out the storyline if they feel like it, because whenever I say they're going to for continuity, they won't when it's important. Sometimes for unimportant storylines, they will. So Santana's... Yeah,
I just see this coming up as a joke. Like, they'll probably just bring it up. Like, because even in the episode, when Rachel says to Kurt, she's like, "Did you hear the good news about Santana?" And he goes, "What, that she doesn't have a yeast infection?"
Oh my God, you're right. So yeah, it's already starting with Kurt. All right, yeah, I think that she'd kind of be into that. And then I won't spoil what happens with this later on. There's another funny crack that happens later on at the diner. I'm excited for that. All right, so that is what's happening at the diner, and the Demi relationship will start a little bit more. I'm sure that they really didn't think people were too intelligent watching this show and would know the difference between Demi and Danny, so they would just assume that that was her original name or something. I don't know why they would give a character such a like-sounding name to what their real name is. It's just, it was that part was strange to me. I didn't understand that.
Well, there's Jake and Jacob Artist.
Yeah, I mean, that's a perfect example, of course. Yeah, so it reminds me basically of shows where like Jessica Simpson would be on and her name would be Jessica on the show or something. Or I mean, I kind of forgive Hannah Montana for Miley Cyrus because that's a very unique name and that's marketable. You know, it's a new name. Her dad made it up for her and all that business. But I think that this was a little bit lame doing Demi and Danny.
If you keep it with Disney, you've got Raven, I think it's Raven Baxter, and then Raven Simone.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, from That's So Raven.
Mm-hmm. That's So Raven. I haven't seen that show in ages.
Oh, it's great. love That's So Raven. All right, so then we jump back over to McKinley High when Kitty is confronted by Bree in the hallway. Bree is just yammering off for Kitty giving her support to Tina. She is just going on a complete 1.5 minute yammer. It was obnoxious. I literally wanted to mute my TV. She wouldn't shut up. I was just like, what are you even insulting her about anymore? You're just making up crap. She wasn't even funny. I was annoyed. Were you like pissed off that Brie was just like super obnoxious, like 10 times worse than Santana's insults obnoxious?
I hate this girl so much. Like I want to say I hated her just as much as I hated Kitty at, like in the first like probably about 10 episodes of the show. Yeah. But now I'm freaking in love with Kitty. I love her so much.
Yeah, she's great.
Yeah, I just don't know. I understand Brie being mean to Kitty, but I really hate like the whole stuff to do with her and Tina, which we can get to this more like when the events actually happen in the episode. I don't know. I don't like Brie at all. I don't think. To be honest, we've had too many bitchy cheerleaders, and she doesn't add anything new to anything.
No, she doesn't. She's very generic at this point to Glee, not to the, you know.
Yeah.
It's something that Glee does uniquely, that they have those fast-talking, bitchy characters, and that's where a lot of people used to give Glee credit for characters like Sue Sylvester and Santana and everyone else. But then that started becoming a dime-a-dozen thing. Basically because everyone that was, you know, working on Glee probably realized the marketability of those funny characters and overdid it a little bit too much. So, too much of a good thing to say with Brie.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Like, this is a humor that Glee's made for itself. But then, like, when you're 5 seasons in, that humor is expected from the characters that already has got it. So just putting that onto another character just gets old.
Yeah, and we haven't lost any of those characters that have been that bitchy. Maybe Quinn, maybe. I'm not sure if she was ever absolutely horrible. She did have bad bones in her body, but I don't think she went on those long Santana Sue Sylvester rants, and then they had Coach Roz come in and start doing this, and they had just, you know, countless, like, Grant Gustin, his character did that. I can't even remember his real name anymore. What's he?
Sebastian.
Sebastian did that for a little bit, too, and it just became too much. So to see Brie come in and do this wasn't that cool. Given Sebastian, once again, he's nicer, too, but I don't think we needed Brie to be like she is. I would have appreciated if she was a coy bitchiness, which she was seemingly going to be when we saw 501, and she was talking to Kitty at the carnival, and she's like, oh, you guys are so cute together, you and Artie, I think this is adorable. I love that. That was great. And I thought that was a very, what's the girl from Mean Girls, Rachel? The mean one? I'm just thinking of Rachel McAdams. Katie Herron's is like worst enemy. Help me out, Joe.
I haven't seen Mean Girls.
I should have expected that out of you. I should have. Regina George. F you, Jack. Regina George would have been in a better Brie than Brie is. All right, so in the meantime, Will and Sam are waiting inside of Sue's office. They're talking about the Tina situation and just, you know, basically keeping that storyline relevant within the episode. Sue walks in and tells them that due to large absences, she is going to start vaccinating the whole entire school. She's going to vaccinate all of the Glee Club first, and I'm assuming that this was a pun towards the missing Joe and Sugar, because they just, are absent enough to never show up to Glee Club, apparently. They're always with, like, a bird flu or something. Like, they talk about that every once in a while. And it's going to be for a polio vaccine. And she threatens, of course, that she's going to fire Will if he doesn't oblige, so he's forced to have all of his kids vaccinated. However, we're only going to see Sam get vaccinated, so apparently he was the only one relevant to this storyline. There's other people that were, I think, actually waiting in line, but he was the only one that was, like, in the office, you know? If you remember that scene, Jack, where they're all singing that song that Sam's going to do in a bit.
Yeah. They're in line. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So maybe there's that. So at Niata, of all places, Rachel is tuning pianos for Carmen Thibodeau, turning my hopes on for seeing more of her character. I would die and go to heaven if I saw more Carmen Thibodeau, because the dance moves and the songs that they give her have been so fun. I know that a lot of people don't like how petty she can be, but I think she's turned a leaf when she and everyone else gave Rachel that large mojo boost when she wanted to go do her Funny Girl audition. So, her callback, yeah. So, Kurt shows up and discusses Santana's commercial with Rachel, and Kurt's basically like, you know what, you've got to get your mojo back, so we're gonna perform a song that relates to that line I just said. So, they sing the song Get Back, and they have a lot of grand piano players around them. Pretty generic performance. I wasn't too excited about it. I am over the majority of these Rachel Kurt Niata performances, because I feel that it's a very stale environment to be in a ballroom, and that I've been over it ever since the, you know, turnaround Bright Eyes thing that was Finn, Rachel, and Jonathan Groff's character. I can't remember him anymore because he hasn't shown up in a while. But you know what I mean, Jack?
Like, that was season one.
I know. And I've kind of been over those ballroom performances because they've lost their luster. They're becoming a bit dry. You would think the choir room would, but they do more there. And it feels like here they just aren't hitting me with too much of that mojo that they're trying to get. So, are you a fan of Rachel Kurt duets?
Yeah, well, this song, like, it is, like, people might think the performance of this song was sort of flat, but I really, really like the original song Get Back by the Beatles, just because I'm a sucker for, like, a good piano in any song, and this song has, like, five pianos going on at once. But Rachel Kurt duets never bothered me too much. I mean, there's some songs like, for example, in season two when they sing the Argentina, Don't Cry For Me Argentina, like, I don't really care about that song just because I'm not, like, a fan of Broadway or anything. I'm not very familiar with musicals. And then they did the song from Les Mis in season four, which I didn't care for either. But, you know, I'm not, like, too phased by it. Sometimes they're just not as good as what I would like them to be.
Doesn't compare to my favorite that they've ever done, which was Happy Days Are Here Again. That was good.
Excellent
duet. That one, I remember, I used for a whole music project, and I was studying the musicality of that song, their cover of it, too, and I couldn't get enough of it. So I wish that they would get back to that magic, but finding that magic is going to be rough.
Defying Gravity was good as well.
No, everyone loves Defying Gravity. I never liked anything of that version. One bit. It took out every single ounce of the storyline within the song and made it more pop. It made it like the Idina Menzel pop version that I've heard
of. That's what Blade does.
I know that's what they do, but sometimes they'll have some characters auditioning, like, you know, Kurt and Rachel were doing in that scene for, let's say, West Side Story or something, and they will have the storyline within that song. And I'm not talking just the West Side Story songs that they covered. I'm talking when Kurt was singing his audition song for, I believe, West Side Story for Tony, and maybe it was his callback, and it was another Rose's Turn song. I remember it reminded me a lot of like that. And
yeah, he sung I don't know the name of it.
The boy with pizzazz? Wow. And he's just singing stuff like
The greatest star. I'm the greatest.
Greatest star. Yeah. So you see what I mean? They still put in like dialogue and talking in that, and Defying Gravity cut that out. So I'd be happy.
Wasn't that song from Funny Girl?
Yes, it was from Funny Girl. Well, that's funny.
I swear
I didn't mean that pun. Oh, jeez, that was funny.
I've never seen Funny Girl, but I think they've probably done like most of the songs on this show.
Yeah, I don't know why I haven't seen it either, surprisingly enough. And I should probably just catch a local showing of it just to say that I have now. So I know what to prepare for. Oh, oops, that's a spoiler. We'll get to that in a bit. Hopefully no one will. I'm sure if I didn't point out that it was a spoiler, not as many people would have noticed, but now they did. That's all right. All right, so Sam, back at McKinley High, is talking to a flirty nurse named Penny Owen, who is some young 20-something, giving him his polio shot. She says to him, I'm a sophomore in college. This is kind of an internship to get me into medical school, a.k.a. she is not to be trusted with any medical equipment, but Sam finds her to be a hottie McHottie, so she is going to do anything he can to get in there and get any medical examination that he has to from her. Do you like this odd nurse-student relationship going on? Is this too sketchy for you?
I don't think it's like a teacher-student type thing. But I really like Penny, and I hope that this love interest for Sam is the love interest. Like, this is final, because Sam is, like, he's such a slut. He has gone through so many girls on this show that, like...
See, don't be slut-shaming. That's a bad thing on a podcast. You won't get too many fans doing that, Jack.
Okay, well, he is a player.
He goes around with a lot of people, we could say.
Let's just, like, reel them off. He's had Quinn, Santana, Brittany, so the Unholy Trinity. He's had all three of them.
He had Brittany? He had Brittany? I don't remember that.
Sam and Brittany? That was, like, all of season four.
Oh, my God. That's why I was thinking back to the good old days of Glee. Maybe not even good old days. Season two wasn't that hot. But, no, you know, I don't know. I forgot their whole Mayan calendar bit. Never mind. But, yes,
those three. Then he's got Mercedes. Yeah. He sort of went to prom with Rachel for a sec there.
Huh?
He was going to go to prom with Tina.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Those don't count as ships. Rachel and Tina do not count as ships. And that's typical for this show. Yeah. Everyone at Glee's been with at least three other people in the Glee Club. There aren't many people who haven't. Except for the 2.0s, really.
What do you mean?
Like, Marley's only been with Jake and Ryder. She's just missing one. And yeah. Unique's been with Zero so far. I mean, Unique's a new case, I suppose, because she has a love interest in someone who doesn't have interest for her, kind of, maybe. Well,
hopefully that gets, like, picked, because obviously that won't be brought up at all in the next episode, because it's the Finn tribute, right. Finn and Corey tribute. But right. Hopefully it gets up. Well, I have some points to make about, like, season four onward, like, later on, I can say.
So yeah, definitely. I agree. I think that it's time for Ryder to get his shiny moment with Unique and pass this confrontation, explain why he stayed in Glee Club and how he's going to treat Unique from the future, because he told basically her that he was never going to talk to her ever again and was very upset. Yeah. And now he's just kind of hanging out in Glee Club and she's around and he's not ostracizing her as much as I thought he was going to be.
Yeah, I mean, like, we can talk about this later, but they were pretty chummy in Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
Yeah, and, like, hey, good point. They haven't really
been shooting any looks, like, at each other or anything, and
yeah, that's a really good point, and I can think of a lot of moments in Glee where there have been performances where characters who are supposed to be against each other are acting happy and cool as if they're going at a character on stage and they're talking to a friend. And I know that I used to get pretty upset during the song Valerie because Santana was being mean to, I think, Rachel or something, and then Rachel, 2 seconds later, was doing, like, well, she was holding onto Santana's shoulder in the beginning and was, like, doing a hip-hop or something, and she was looking over at Santana like, you go get it, girl! And I was like, no, you hate her!
Yeah, because that's when Santana was pretty much just being a bitch to Rachel because her and Finn had slept together, like, last season. And then that's when they break up.
Yeah, so sadly. I agree that Unique situation needs to be addressed because it's going to solve a lot of our ship issues and it'll, I think, settle down things for a lot of characters. It'll just kind of start a nice chain reaction for all these ships to, you know, make more sense for us. It'll allow us to move on a little bit better, you know?
Yeah.
So, meanwhile, in the hallways, Tina is using Dottie, who is the girl who wears glasses and basically gets shoved around more than any other character on Glee. And she's using this girl as her assistant on the entire episode because apparently that's what you do with Dottie. You just use her as a slave. Tina confronts Kitty about posters up in the hallway, which demonstrate Kitty saying, I want to be prom queen, and she has a nice, hot, lean body. Think Kate Upton. And Kitty defends herself by saying, that's not even my body, showing further that she's going to have complete and utter support for Tina because, like Jack was saying before, Kitty absolutely wants Tina to win. Kitty's saying, I have enough time to win in my life. I want Tina to win. And even though she said it to be kind of petty to Tina, like, to condescend her, be like, I'll let this loser win this. Maybe she'll actually feel good about herself for once. I don't think she meant it that mean.
No, she didn't.
No, she didn't whatsoever. I think that she was legitimate because of this scene where she was like, guys, I really didn't put up these posters. I like you, Tina. I want you to win.
Yeah, Kitty is possibly one of the most smartest characters on this show. Like, just smart in a good accolade. And bad way. Sorry?
What an accolade.
What?
An accolade is when you give someone a really good compliment, or you give them, like, you are...
Well, she is.
You are number one in your class, or something.
Well, I mean, this isn't a good smart, but from manipulating Marley so much that, like, convinces her she has an eating disorder, all the way up to, like, now where she's recognized that she shouldn't be going for prom queen because Tina is a senior and she will have more chances. You know,
she's just
so smart. Like, yeah, I love Kitty so much, which is saying a lot because I used to hate her so much in the beginning of season 4. I thought she was possibly one of the most hated people you could ever have on television. Including Azula.
I always knew that she was going to have her redeeming factors.
I wouldn't expect Glee
to just throw out a character you're going to hate 24/7. There's going to be good moments for Sue. There's going to be good moments for Santana. There's going to be a lot of good moments for Kitty if they'll come along, and they have.
Well, I might as well just say this now. The reason why I don't like Bree is because in the next episode, she's going to be... Oh, this isn't a spoiler. I don't know anything. In the next episode, she's going to be in it. Like with the Finn and Corey tribute, but like at the end of this episode when Sue, I guess, can I talk about it now or should I talk about it then?
It seems kind of spoilerly, honestly, so I would save all of that up until
next
week's episode.
Sorry
Yeah, it's alright.
No, I mean, like, when Sue, like, is talking to Bree at the end, I have a point to make about that then, so we'll just talk about
that absolutely
then.
Yeah. Okay,
jumping ahead of myself.
So Artie shows up to the scene and scolds Kitty, and she admits even to herself, yeah, you know what? People shouldn't believe me for how much I'm telling lies, which further shows that she's looking to turn over a new leaf. At the diner, Santana and Danny are flirting. They're more like introducing each other to themselves, but that's the oddest way to say that. They're more like getting to know each other, but they're inherently flirting as... two lesbians on Glee, of course they're going to ship. So, Danny has a pretty interesting line where I was convinced for a millisecond that this was true. She says, I'm not a lesbian. There's an awkward pause. Santana looks at Danny. Then she says, no, I'm totally kidding. I love my lady parts. So they share their pasts, and Santana talks about how Brittany is over and she will no longer be with her. And to me, I was just like... honestly, for like a first getting to know you conversation, that's a little bit too much information. The person hearing that isn't going to care. They're not going to know you enough to care about your past relationship. I mean, even if they inherently
asked.
Well, I was about to say, even if they inherently asked, to me, it'd make more sense if they were just like, I was with someone for a bit of time, but I'm done with that. That was my first real girlfriend. But she went into like talking about Brittany, like Danny would know who Brittany is, you know? And to me, that was just rude to bring up Brittany's name and to be like, you know, Danny, you should already know who I'm talking about, this Brittany girl. When I know it was meant to be more of an audience to have that satisfaction of hearing Santana saying, Brittany is over. But to me, I was just like, that's not a really polite thing to do in conversation. Not like rude to say her name to make Danny upset. It's rude to, you know, assume that someone's going to know about someone else enough to mention their name like that. To me, I don't know. Maybe I'm being super nitpicky about it. I think I am, so I'm going to move on from that point.
I didn't get that at all.
No, that's okay. It's just meant to be nitpicky. It's typical. So Danny basically replies with, I think you need 100% goddess. Santana then excuses herself to go talk to Santana. Santana has that fabulous line of, I'm getting that stinky panic sweat under my boobs, making all of the straights and lesbians of Glee...
and me.
And Jack get so excited, because I'm sure that they want that stinky panic sweat under her boobs smell. And Glee Chat just took a strange turn for the worst.
It happens a lot on PokéChat.
Yes, it does. So Rachel thinks that Santana is... scared to go after a complete lesbian because in the past Santana's only ever been with what she said were straight girls or I think she said straight girls, I'm not sure. I watch a lot of gay media, so I get confused when I'm thinking about conversations about
she said she's only been with bi people like Brittany or college girls wanting to experiment like Quinn.
There we go. All right, we got it. Beautiful. So I'm glad that Rachel was able to call out Santana like that. And it was great that Rachel was like, you know what, you're really cute right now, Santana. And to me, that just showed a great supporting friendship that was untainted by negativity. Now it is, at least. Originally, Santana was just like, I'm moving into your apartment. You're going to deal with it. All right, biatch. And now Santana and Rachel have a genuine friendship. And I'm really happy by Santana, Rachel, and Kurt all hanging out and doing their due here.
Yeah, I love them so much.
Yeah, it's a good relationship going on. I'm really digging. What's the Santana Rachel ship? It's not like a romantic one at this point, obviously. But do you know it?
It's Pezberry.
Wait, say that again.
Pezberry.
Pezberry.
Yep. Lopez. Almost like the Loli Pez.
Loli Pez. Good lord.
You know, like the little Loli things.
Oh my god, that's funny. Oh, okay, so Pezberry is a sailing, we'll say. At McKinley High, Blaine invites Sam to go get their tux rentals when Artie and Blaine both notice that Sam bit himself to go to the nurse today. And they notice this because they find a rather large mouth's bite mark on his arm. And they're like, that could only have come from you.
That was funny.
Yeah, so he's hurting himself to go off to go see the doctor, thus having the song Something cued as Sam sings this to the nurse in the hallways, the classroom, and then at one point he is being demonstrated how to be saved from being choking via her, and it was oddly gross and sexual. I didn't appreciate it. It was too much for a classroom setting, and I didn't like that. And then All the boys started lining up for their exams from this nurse lady. And at one point, Sam is joined by both Ryder and Jake. So what do you think about the song Something, Jack?
The song Something, this is a wonderful George Harrison, beautifully sung song. When I first heard the song and, Sam's cover of the song and heard that Cordova Street would be doing the song on the show, I thought, okay, I know that Sam is going to have a new love interest is going to be a nurse, and I thought to myself how the scene will play out, and sure enough, I was pretty happy with myself, because that's exactly how it played out in the show. Sam was, like, walking through the halls, and Penny was doing her stuff. It was funny. I was like, one for Jack. Yeah, and the performance of the song as well. But at the start, when like Sam was sort of gliding down the halls and like the wind was going through his hair,
it looked so stupid.
And I was like, if that's meant to look good, I don't know what they were thinking. And then like the choking thing happened, so I was like, okay, this performance is obviously meant to be more comical. And I hate Sam's hair, and that's that. I've hated it ever since it started to get this long, and I hate it.
Basically, ever since they had that homeless storyline, they wanted to make him look homeless, I'm assuming. They gave him longer hair, and it's a little bit disappointing that they haven't... Go ahead.
No, that happened end of season 2, and like in season 3 and beginning of 4, his hair wasn't that bad. Sam looks really, really good with shorter, more styled hair, but not this crappy, long hair, you know?
Yeah.
And it makes him look so much older. It actually makes him look older than Penny, which, like, Penny is supposed to be a sophomore in college, and he's a senior in high school. Like, you know,
quote unquote.
Yeah.
All these, like, you know, 70, not 75 year olds. all of these, like, 25, 30 year olds are all trying to appear as if they're in their teens still. And it's rather funny when we see characters like Sam being portrayed by Cordova Street, and we can blatantly know that he's way above the age he's supposed to be portraying. It's just, it cracks me up. He looks nothing like the 16, 17-year-old he's supposed to be.
Well, it never usually bothers me, but when he just was, like, put next to Penny, I was like, yeah, you look so much older. But they don't do too bad about making them look younger. Like, Darren looks a lot younger with the bow tie on, and his hair slicked back. Like, that's okay. But just Sam, he just looks like he should be, like, a teacher's assistant or something at the school.
Yeah, I agree. All right, yeah, so the next scene goes right off of this whole love sequence that Sam has going on, because Sue fires Penny for messing up pee and vaccinations, which is rather disgusting, because she's doing a pee cup test to test a Cheerio for drugs or something, I don't know. and she gives someone else that pee as the vaccination, which is disgusting.
Could that kill somebody, getting urine injected into your body?
I doubt it.
It would not be good, though. You can get really,
it wouldn't
really
be good, but I sincerely doubt it. Because there are many things that people inject into their bodies and they don't die inherently, if you think about it, so...
Oh, yeah, I guess like drugs and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, so I feel like something that comes from the body wouldn't exactly kill you, but it just wouldn't do too well.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... Sam gets the polio shot up his butt because he probably just wanted to have that happen with her, and that's an odd sexual moment too, so she gets to stare at his butt for the good 10, 15 film shots that it took to get that scene right, I'm sure. So that's fun. Right after this, Sam runs right into Sue's office and tells her that she can't fire the nurse, and Sue rehires the nurse because she says that she could use a new plaything. So it seems like you're right, Jack. We're going to be seeing Sam and the nurse around a lot more, Penny, because Sue's going to keep her around. So welcome to a new character.
I really hope so, because what I like about characters like Penny, or even like the actresses like Penny, is that this actress, like, from as far as I know, she's only like, I'm pretty sure she's a friend of Lea Michele's, but she's only like been on Broadway stuff, so she's not like completely tied down to anything else, whereas like Demi Lovato, she's only got a 6-episode arc, so we sort of can assume that like she's not going to be around with Santana for that long, which sucks, because like I don't want to really get invested into her relationship just to have it pulled away from me. Whereas like Penny and the actress, she has the potential to be around for the continuation of the show.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? So, yeah, like now I feel better getting involved and liking this relationship rather than Santana and Danny, which I do really enjoy, but it's just like, I just know they're not going to be around for too long.
Well, Jack, I think that you might not have to give up completely on your Danny-Santana relationship, because 6 episodes is a lot on Glee, because they can spread those out pretty far. Bert probably only got like 4 or 5 last season, and he still had a strong prevalence. So it doesn't mean that they're going to break up. It just means that their relationship will only be relevant for 6 episodes to me, and I could see it going on for longer. But
that's
then
true,
again,
but like, is Demi Lovato really going to want to be on Glee for that long, especially when like these first, I think it's like 12 episodes are being split pretty much like into 2 seasons? Like, it's still going to be season 5, but there's going to be like, I'm pretty sure it's like a 4-month hiatus after the first like 12 episodes.
Yeah, and there's also, let's not even mention that there's going to be, after the Finn tribute episode, I think there's another indefinite hiatus after that, which is not too fun. I don't think many people are going to be excited about that. They're going to be sitting around, you know, stewing over those Cory Monteith feels, and I'm sure that everyone's going to want to be able to move on from that as quick as they can so that it's not as depressing, because I think that, you know, Lea Michele said it best when Cory Monteith passed, that she wanted to get back into Glee, and she didn't want to delay the show too long because there are her family and friends on the show, and she wants them to, you know, go to their job, feed their families, and move on in life. And that's usually the best way to move on as a fandom, too, is to just see past that episode and, you know, work with your friends to, you know, get over the feels you're having for someone that's passed away. And I know that that's very dark and heavy for Glee chat even to talk about, but personally, I think that we'll all be best once Glee moves on from that episode, too. And we're not saying they're going to forget about Finn. It's just that they're going to be forced to move on to different storylines to keep the show, you know, kinetic, basically.
Yeah. See, I do agree with that, except this hiatus at this time of the year isn't, like, it isn't Glee's fault, because this has happened. I don't know if it happened in season 2, but it happened in season 3, 4, and now because of the baseball. So like they pushed filming up a week because of Corey's death. Yeah. So it's it was going to happen like anyway, but it's just unfortunate. Well, the whole thing is unfortunate.
Yes, of course, and I expected them to take a bit longer of a time to get over Corey, and I'm sure that a lot of listeners did too for when Corey passed. But like we said, you know, Lea Michele was a large influence in Corey's life, and that she was dating him when he passed. So her saying that, I'm sure, influenced Ryan Murphy and therefore the whole entire production of Glee to keep on trucking, you know, basically. So
yeah. And at the time I sort of wished that they'd taken longer, except I'm sort of happy now that they haven't, because, like, I agree with what you're saying, and if Lea Michele is happy, which I don't think she's happy, but, like, if she's fine to keep on, like, moving with the show and just sort of help her, I guess, sort of grieve, then, you know, I think her feelings need to be put first in all of this. Obviously her and her family, so, yeah. You know, whatever's best for her, they should do it.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah.
All right, so moving on from this odd Sam-nurse relationship thing, Dottie is shown in the hallway handing out posters, and she is saying, "Vote for Tina, don't be a racist," which is, I'm not sure if that's a bandwagon propaganda theory or a fear tactic propaganda theory. I think it's both. So Bree offers then and there Dottie a Cheerios roll, basically to get her to stop campaigning so well for Tina. And I say so well with a hint of sarcasm, because I wouldn't say if you're handing out posters saying don't be racist, vote for this person, that's not a human way to get people to vote. That is a kind of sick and twisted way to twist people into thinking that it's okay to vote for that person because that makes them a better person. So that's my opinion on Dottie there, and I'm not a big fan of that, but maybe Tina told Dottie to do that, since Dottie is such a pushover. Do you think Dottie came up with that idea on her own to say that line?
No, well, Dottie is Tina's assistant, so I'm pretty sure, like, Tina told her to say that because it's just sort of, like, relating back to her attitude change and, like, how much of a bitch she is.
Yeah, Tina, that's not cool, like, Race shouldn't play as much of a role as you're making it, and I'd like to say any, but I just think that, in general, Tina is usually putting too much of an emphasis on her being Asian, and it calls more attention to it than she needs to, because a person should be a person first in a race, like, 10th or 11th, you know? That's not going to have to be your dominating personality trait.
That's just Glee in general.
It's absolutely Glee in general. It really is. I mean, think about Tina's offhand comment about something like, wasn't Sam the least Asian, so that's why she was going for him? I was like, dude, are you kidding me? Yeah. That's really important to you? That's obnoxious. What about personality? Does that matter?
Well, with that was just, like, alluding to her past boyfriends. But, like, with this part about Tina saying, don't be racist, and her whole attitude thing, like, Glee does this a lot where, like, Tina, we're really, throughout all this, we're meant to be rooting for Tina, and we're really meant to hate Bree, except they're both really in the wrong. But, like, I mean, in this episode, like, Tina's, like, saying crap like this, and she's just being rude to everyone. But, like, we're meant to be going for Tina, so, like, Glee always does this, though. We're not really meant how we're supposed to feel. Just like with Kurt and Blaine when they broke up, like, we had no idea if they were broken up, like, in episode 4, like, we're at the beginning of that hiatus.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah. I'm saying that that's what Glee does all the time. So, yeah.
All right. That's a good point. I like that.
I just, like, put my foot in my mouth there for no reason.
No, you're fine. So, at the diner, Santana and Rachel are once again discussing Rachel's future when Rachel up and leaves the two future lovers together at the diner at night in a very romantic setting. They start duetting Here Comes the Sun. Demi's voice is gorgeous on this. She is just pouring her love, kittens and unicorns, from a beautiful golden ladle into my soul when she starts this off. And I was just so excited to hear her singing on Glee. I can't even tell you how happy it made me. It really did. And I wish I could think of a less homosexual reference for how happy she made me, but I just couldn't. I have a strong and affectionate love for her talent, and I think that it's just one of Glee's best decisions in season 5 to have Demi Lovato show up. And I won't rant about it too much more, because that was going to be my moment to tell everyone how much I love Demi Lovato. Done. All right. So we all know I do by now. No doubt in anyone's mind.
She's very talented. I remember when Camp Rock came out, I used to like that. I bet you if I was to hear that end song, I could probably sing it, but I don't even remember how the tune goes now, but I bet you I could probably sing that song.
Because we rock on.
There you are.
Oh my God, but you don't even know the duet she has with Joe Jonas in Camp Rock 2, Like Fire and Rain. It's so good.
I remember that.
She has such strong vocals. She beats the crap out of the Jonas Brothers in those movies with her voice. She's just...
She's very talented.
Beyond talented. Skyscraper is so amazing. Ugh! And yeah, and
you know what's funny? They've actually done a Demi Lovato song on Glee.
Oh, you don't know. You don't even know how much un-universe canon things there are in Glee like that. We've gone on many rants on Glee chat about Idina Menzel, and they did Defying Gravity. Same thing with Kristen Chenoweth. Oh, so
but pretty much any guest star they've had on the show, that's true. Any guest star that they've had on the show, they've made a joke to previously in the show. Like they've done it about John Stamos. They've done it about Gwyneth Paltrow. Yeah.
That is a very strong assumption to make. I'm sure someone's going to catch you for that, Jack. Come on, this is Glee Chat.
We have some
investigative fans. They're going to find one or two or five or 10 guest stars that come on without being referenced before. So watch your back, Jack.
Maybe not every single guest star. I could name them. Gwyneth Paltrow, when Finn wants to name Quinn's baby, Quinn's baby, she mentions how Gwyneth Paltrow and Chris Martin from Coldplay named their kid Apple, and then Emma says something about John Stamos, about something about talent not equivalating to fame.
Yeah, oh, okay, there you go.
Bam! Bam, bam!
Bam, 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 says Jack. So,
what can I say about this duet? Here Comes the Sun is such a beautiful song. Like,
it really is. It's
just
gorgeous.
The original by the Beatles. It's just such a gorgeous song, and when I heard this cover, I got emotional for no reason about just hearing the first line.
Are you kidding me?
I was
crying like a baby.
It's just such a gorgeous song, and I love when Glee does just such a simple acoustic guitar and just two people singing.
And don't you love her raspy voice in the beginning when she just starts off with "Here comes the sun, do do do," and I'm like, "That's perfect. That's great. I needed that."
Yeah,
it was like a big warm fuzzy hug when I was wearing a nice warm blanket of fluff and love. I was all giddy, and I was just like,
God.
It was
and
the best.
The second or third time I watched this, I did not catch the fact that they were literally singing about the sun rising. That's funny.
So that means they stayed up all night. Hey.
Well, they mentioned they were working the graveyard shift at the diner, which I'm assuming is just the overnight shift.
You obviously have not seen SpongeBob, the hash-slinging slasher episode.
I have seen that, and we talked about that on PokerChat.
Yes, of course we have. That's a classic episode that should be talked on every podcast. The hash-slinging slasher comes and gets you if you work the grave shift, the graveyard shift at the Krusty Krab. And thank God the hash-slinging slasher didn't come and get Danny and Santana, because as they are walking home, Danny gives Santana a smooch right on the lips, and we're shipping. Woohoo! So what's our ship name, Jack?
For what, Danny and Santana?
No, for Santa Claus and Mrs. Claus. Yes, for Danny and Santana.
it's Dantana. Even the show said that. Or in the promos.
Oh, really? Cool. Well, I love when Glee embraces its ship names. It makes me happy because I'm like, you're one of us. You're one of the fans. Sweet. So Dantana is rolling, and if you couldn't tell, Jack and I couldn't be happier. I'm sure there's some people who don't like it for some odd reason. So if you're one of those soulless inhabitants of the lowest pits of hell, please feel free to comment on this episode of Glee Chat's hypeable post, and we'll make sure to read it on the next episode. Okay, so prom starts. We're in prom, so I know we've talked about on the last episode of Glee Chat, we're in this weird time flux where we're in many different times at the same time, but prom usually happens in late April, early May, and they're just going at prom right now. Don't know how much more of a school year that's going to give them to go with in Glee, but they're having fun, and they're singing the song Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. You're going to have to remind me who's on stage, Jack, because I remember some of them. Ryder was up there, and so was Unique, Marley,
Tina? It was just all the 2.0s except for Kitty.
So Jake.
Even though I hate calling them 2.0s because I don't think they are. But yeah, Jake, Ryder, Unique, and Marley.
Right. Yeah, 2.0s is the fandom name for all of the new characters introduced in Season 4's intro, for anyone who doesn't know. So that's...
I just say...
Marley, Kitty, Jake, Ryder, Unique. That's it.
Marley, Jake, Ryder, Unique, Kitty.
Yeah, got it. Okay. Yeah. What do you get to say about the song, Jack?
This song, this album is a freaking fantastic fantastic record, this album. Yeah. And this song, like, have you heard the original Sgt. Pepper's song?
I know there's a famous line in the beginning of it, and that's the part I recognized. I've recognized every song that was playing because it's the Beatles, and you can't live in this world and not have heard every song for the Beatles. But
yeah.
What's the one line that I know? Do you know it? Come on, Jack, read my mind. No, there's like a line that's just like one that I knew inherently. It's the only part I knew of it.
Probably just the chorus,
No. How's it start off?
How's it start off?
Yeah.
Oh god. I'm trying to just I've got to like hum it in my head.
Hum it out loud, this is a musical podcast, bitch.
It was 20 years ago today, Sgt. Pepper told the band to play.
Yeah, I think that's when it hit me. But what do you have to say about this?
This song, it's so much more rocky and heavier than the original. Like in the original, it's a bit more softer, almost Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds-y ish. Because like I'm pretty sure like there's a key change in part of the chorus. I don't know, but like it was just a lot more heavier, which I understand why they did it. Because if you're gonna start having the brass and the trumpets, and all the windishy sort of sound in this, it would not fit for prom at all. I really appreciated the change. It was good and freaking unique on this song. I cannot talk more about Unique. She is just freaking wonderful, and I didn't realize how good her vocals would have sounded on such a rock song, and it's wonderful. I just love it. I just love Unique so much. I think the world could do with more Unique.
And I know it's already very obvious to the Glee Chat listeners that we're in very opposite spectrums about Unique. I don't need to rehash that, but I like to say that Unique did have a large rock song for her Nationals performance when she did Pinball something.
She did Pinball, which is by The Who, which that was a very, very different arrangement than the original.
Yeah. So she did kind of a rock thing, so I think this is a good return of that rock feel for her.
Well, the original was more rock. It was just there's a lot of acoustic electric guitar in that song, but like that cover was really, really poppy. I wouldn't even say that's rock, to be honest. not to step on your feet.
Hoity-toity.
I know a lot about music. Sorry,
I'm Jack, and I know like a lot about music, guys. Like,
I don't care. I'm gonna blow my own horn. I do know a lot about music.
All right, we're gonna put you to that test. You're not gonna be able to live past that. You know that, right?
I will go to the challenge. I'll rise to the challenge.
All right, Hercules, go for it.
That's just like my Gen 3 Pokemon, except... Well, because music is my life. Like, seriously, music is my life.
I swear, this is what everyone's thinking. If they talk about Pokemon one more time, I'm never listening to a Mitch and Jack episode ever again.
Well, maybe they should go listen to PokeChat.
Oh! And we're plugging. People don't like that shit.
I haven't spoken about it that much.
Back at the prom, here, we'll go back to this. Sam and Penny are chatting at the punch bowl when he admits to her that he was faking sick just to go to her office. The two there dance, so they're shipping now, too. Sam and Penny's relationship name, I'm going to guess, is Senny. If that's right. It's probably the best combination of those two names. I can't think of a better one.
What about Evans and Owen?
I don't like doing last names. It just confuses me.
Evelyn?
I just have to think too hard when it's last names, because I don't know them as inherently well as I do as the first name, so I'm just not going to worry about that. Especially as a new character, I can't worry about her last name. So Bree is talking to Dottie about their nasty slushy recipe that they've created, and Dottie says something ridiculous, like, I've imported the ice shards from Brazil to make sure that no one will be able to track me for doing it. And we all see what's going to happen. I'll let your imagination run up until I reveal what movie they're punning when this scene happens. Don't say it, Jack. All right, so the winners are announced, and at one point, we almost learned Kitty's name. I'm assuming we don't know it, because there was a bit of a lampshade when Sue says, and the nominees are blah, blah, blah. Oh, Kitty, I forget your last name. And I was like, so was that just like, we don't feel like making one, or are we just like teasing the fans?
No. Her last name is Wild. And actually, Sue actually said it in like when she was announcing the Queens.
Oh, okay. Never mind. So forgive that. Mid-rant.
Kitty Wild with an E.
All right. Good. Stone and Brett wins for the men for some odd reason, but that's cool and fun because Tina wins the prom queen. As we look over from Tina celebrating, we notice that Kitty is looking on as Dottie is pulling a large rope above Tina's head is a red slushy mix. It's going to fall on Tina's head. Kitty's screaming, no! She wants to go and jump her out of the way, but the slushy comes down and sloshes all over us, celebrating Tina. My heart broke for this girl. And then, oddly, the bucket falls and hits Brett on the head, knocking him out. Cue the movie. I hope you guessed it by now. Carrie from Stephen King.
Okay, I have a few questions for you, okay?
Yeah.
I've never seen the movie Carrie, but I'm very familiar, like, with this, like, because this thing happening is, like, a very, like, big thing in pop culture.
Absolutely.
Is in the movie, you've seen it, haven't you, Mitch?
Yeah, I've seen it on TV, if that counts.
So in the movie, is there, like, a girl in the wings, like, screaming how Kitty did? Because, like, Kitty's, like, reaction was so over the top, and I wasn't sure if that was, like, you know... Like,
no, that's just Kitty turning a leaf, because in the movie itself, and the original, they have everyone basically against her, and she is drawn... she has a pig's blood bath sloshed into her head from a bucket. I'm not sure who pulls it. I don't remember that much of the details. But I'm planning on seeing the awesome remake of it that's going to come out this fall, because I'm a big fan of the girl who plays Hit Girl in Kick-Ass, and I remember her name was Chloe something or another, and she's going to do a Carrie remake, and I think it's going to be excellent. So I think that pop culture will appreciate this Glee reference once it sees that remake of Carrie, because we'll be reminded of the relevance of that scene. So I think that was cool that they did this. Personally, I liked it because it was very fun and dramatic, and it made me legitimately upset for Tina. It wasn't too overdone or cliche to copy Carrie. I'm sure many other pop culture items do this in all of their series, but I liked Glee's reference to it.
Yeah, that's how I sort of know it. Yeah.
For pop culture references, like Family Guy will do it or something, yeah.
Yeah. Well, like, Glee has mentioned, like, Carrie before. Like, I remember when Rachel got nominated, she got fake, like, prom queen. She thought she was going to get carried, and she actually said that, you know? And I'm pretty sure someone else has said it as well.
I'm sure that happens in real high schools. I'm legit. I feel like you can Google Carrie in real life or Carrie prom in real life, and it'll definitely happen that someone dropped pig's blood on someone that won prom queen or some crazy shit. People are effed up in this world, I'll tell you that.
See, but like, if that was to happen at my bowl, we don't call it prom, we call it a bowl in Australia. If that was happening at the bowl, everyone in my year would just like find the person who did it and just completely scold them. That would not be spoken to at all, and that person would probably get like suspended from the high school forever. Because like, I don't know how, like, seriously, this school is so messed up. My God. Yeah.
So McKinley's not pretty cool, because all the people who were just cheering for Tina are now literally laughing at her. And I was like, guys, why would you, like, be so excited for her for one moment and then be like, ha ha ha, just kidding, we hate you.
And I like how Natalie put it in her recap on Hyperbole. She said that because, you know, people are cattle, which is true.
Because people are cattle. Like, they walk toward all whatever is the popular start laughing. Opinion.
Yeah, like, all it took was for Brie to start laughing, and then everyone else joined in.
Yeah, I unfortunately agree to that.
Yeah.
Poor Tina. So, Tina runs off to the choir room, and the New Directions show up and tell her that she needs to get back on stage. Tina says, just leave me alone here like this, I deserve to be like this. The girls all offer up their dresses, and Unique has a funny line when she's like, something to the effect of, like, I think you won't be fabulous enough in this or something. Like, you won't...
It would be a crime to steal this look or something.
Yeah. And I appreciated that Unique look, that Unique moment. That was one moment that I actually liked Unique. Okay, and then...
Don't you like Unique?
I'm trying to let her grow on me for you. I really am. I'm trying my hardest.
I used to hate Unique, and now I don't know what happened. Actually, I do know what happened. I used to really not like Unique, really, up until, like... I still sort of started to like her in, like, the Grease when she couldn't get Rizzo. And then all of a sudden, like, in This Is the New Year, when she starts singing in that song, I was sold for no reason whatsoever. Then I just fell in love with Unique.
In the end of the day, I think Unique will always be around, so I should basically just get used to it. You know what I mean?
Just let it happen. Let it happen.
I'll get used to that character's presence.
Let it be.
Ooh. Oh, boy. Yeah, so... I'll let it glee.
Yeah.
If you thought that Here Comes the Sun was heart-melting, just wait till Darren Criss opens up his beautiful mouth to sing Hey Jude. They're all putting on Kitty's dress, and Marley joins in, and Kitty and everyone else, and I just loved this conglomerate of New Directions coming together to sing such a beautiful song. And it was really funny when Blaine has the one part when he does that really high note of the song. I'll try and imitate it just for you guys' amusement. Right before the na 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 na. Oh, I'm so off tune. I'm sick, I promise. I'm usually a better singer. So,
Hey Jude is just the Hey Jude is possibly is my favorite Beatles song of all time.
Is it your favorite song of all time?
No, favorite Beatles song.
Oh, all right, so it hasn't won that title from the King Song Knower Aller over here.
Seriously, it's such a good song. It's such a good song. Except I have a problem with like the actual performance of it. I didn't like how Blaine pretty much like over singing like even Tina at the end of the song. I'm like, Blaine, this isn't your time. Shut up.
Whenever you say something to do, you say it a lot. Whenever you say something about time and Blaine, I always think it's time to begin, isn't it? First thing that comes to my head is season 3 song in the courtyard.
Season 4.
Yeah, I get confused. We all know that he has plenty of songs in the courtyard in the beginning of each season.
Yes.
So, I put a big question mark after my note that said, everyone that laughed is now clapping, but that goes along with the note that Jack told us that everyone is a cattle in McKinley High.
Yeah. I have something else to say about Hey Jude, but I can't remember. Oh, yeah. I love when Tina, when she says, she's just like breaking down and sobbing when she says like to Sam that she's going home. I just lost it. I was in tears at that point. I just love Tina, and to see her like have this happen to her was just heartbreaking.
Yeah,
because she was just so distraught by it. It was like, which she should be. Like, it's such a terrible thing to happen to somebody.
Yeah, I agree. It's a horrible thing that people would think that that's all right to do because they are ruining a large moment in the person's life. And I was prom king at my prom, as I've mentioned in Glee Chat's last prom episode, and I promised that there was no pig's blood involved in that moment, and it feels great. I remember when I was up there and I was just like, oh, that really happened? I was just amazed that that many people cared to vote for me personally, and I'm sure that's how Tina felt, and it's amazing. It's really cool. I didn't start, campaigned.
This is what I'm confused about Breeze. Like, was Tina, like, first up put up for nominations because people liked her? Or was this a whole stunt pulled by Bree? Because if this was a whole stunt pulled by Bree, then why is Bree yelling at Kitty for not campaigning when Bree would want Tina to win just to pull this prank on her? I don't know.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, her motivations are just really all over the place.
I agree. It's kind of strange.
If I don't know if Tina was like popular enough to get or people liked her enough to get nominated, which I find hard to believe, just because what the show tries to make us believe. And then did she actually win because people wanted her to win, or did Brie like do all this herself and like rig the nominations? Because if she did, then she has no right to be yelling at Kitty that she shouldn't be, that she should be campaigning and yelling at her for non.
She stuffed the ballot. Brie did.
Well, it's either that or Tina, or people like Tina enough to nominate her, which would be good, which would be nice, but I doubt that.
I don't think Brie would have done that. I think she's going to stuff anyone's ballot, it's going to be Kitty's, and she's just going to be happy that her Cheerio won.
But then there's no point in Brie even setting up the prank if Kitty would win. That's what I'm saying.
You've lost me, I'm confused.
Okay. Sunny. Alright, so Brie was complaining at Kitty for not campaigning for prom.
The right person, right?
Well, not even campaigning for prom because she was nominated for it. For prom queen. But then if Brie convinced Kitty to start nominating, and then if Kitty won, then Brie's slashy thing wouldn't have worked because Kitty would be up there, not Tina. But then what I'm saying is, did Brie like make Tina win and
because
make
it
Tina
was, get nominated. So basically you're saying Brie acted like she knew it was guaranteed that Tina was going to win. Was it because the ballot was stuffed or because Brie knew that Kitty had no chance against Tina's strong following? I think it's a strong following. I think it is. And I think that if Kitty won, she wouldn't have done the pig's blood. I mean, Dottie isn't a robot. She could be told yes or no to not do such a thing, you know?
But that's, like, I want to believe that, but, like, the show isn't making us think that. Like, we've had no indication at all that Tina is popular, except for, like, beginning of season 4 when the whole Glee Club is popular, but then they lose that in the same episode.
Mm.
Like, maybe it's because, like, Tina is the only senior that's up there. That might be it, actually.
I think it's something to do with the Wallflower vote that she was going for, that people could see her as being, out of the nominees, the only woman that wasn't a Cheerio and, you know, one that they could really fall behind, really.
Actually, that's very true. That's
all
very
three
true,
Cheerios,
actually.
All the other ones. And then that, Kitty and Jordan, and then another one.
Well, maybe Brie actually thought that Tina was, like, good enough, and her strategy was good enough to actually get her prom queen. So maybe she was just relying. Maybe she just really was relying on the fact that Tina would win. I think that's actually good. That I would like to think that. That's good.
All right, so let's move on from this Tina situation because Tina is now on stage, and I wish she did what Katie Herring does at the end of Mean Girls, where she breaks off her crown and starts giving it to everyone just to throw in one more prom reference in there. But maybe that would be too much. The next day, Coach Roz shows up for her episode's cameo, she typically does, and she brings Brie into Sue's office saying that Brie should be suspended for all that she's doing or should be taken off the Cheerios or something. Should be punished. All of a sudden...
Suspended.
Hmm?
Oh, she should be suspended, she said.
She's okay. So, yes, Sue responds by going to Brie and saying, I am promoting you to captain of the Cheerios and buying you a LaCar. I don't know what this LaCar thing she is. She's always referencing. Is that some type of fancy car I should know? Or
I'm pretty sure it was in like season 2. Like she says that she's got the best car in the world and that it's called a LaCar.
Like it's supposed to sound fancy in French, so it's like...
Like French, yeah.
Like LaCar. It's basically the car, but it sounds fancier because it's the word la for the...
Yeah.
Oh, right. That's funny. God, you have such good retention from these old episodes, Jack. I'm very impressed. And yes. Sue's reasoning behind this when Coach is like, hey, I thought you wanted the Glee Club to win nationals. She said something like, no, the Glee Club is best when they have an enemy. They are going to prosper amongst the diversity that they're going to have to face. So there's that.
That's true.
That is true. I think that and it spices up the season more. And I'm going to be excited as long as we don't have any more like Purple Piano Project stuff going on.
However, what I have to say about this is that I don't understand why it needs to be a bitchy cheerleader that is giving them the enemy, because, like, we've already been there. Like, we've been there, done that. Like, why can't it be, like, why can't, like, somebody like Dottie be so pissed off and then she comes back and then she tries to take down the Glee Club? That would be interesting. Like, somebody with lower status than them is trying to bring them down. And then, we're like, what if they succeed? Like, that would be so interesting rather than somebody with high status brings them down. And this is what I was going to say earlier, like, I'm really worried that, like, because pretty much every single enemy or evil character on this show gets redeemed at some point. Like, we've done that with Sebastian, obviously with Santana, Quinn, Sue even, like, well, Sue's a bit over the place, but Sue has been. But, like, I don't, if Brie is going to keep being a bitch and keep trying to take down the Glee Club after the death of Finn, like, I don't think anybody is going to want to ever see Brie on this show because, like, this, like, the Finn and the Corey stuff is, like, the biggest thing to ever happen to Glee. Like, it's bigger than Quinn's car accident. It's bigger than Kurofsky trying to attempt suicide. Mm. It's bigger than the school shooting. And, like, it affects everyone so personally that if we're going to have this bitchy cheerleader attack everybody on it, then, like, no one's going to ever want to see Brie and nobody's ever going to want her a part of the Glee Club, which probably is going to happen. That's just
the
problem I have.
Oh, you think she's going to join
the Glee Club now? I hope not, but, like, I'm afraid she will.
That'd
like,
be interesting.
I bet you what's going to happen is, like, she's gonna have this revelation where, like, her attempts at destroying the Glee Club has actually made her like the Glee Club, and then she joins it. That's what I mean, though. I, like, if that happens, and if they let her join the Glee Club, if she's still trying to take them down after the Finn stuff, then Because I don't think that she's going to be a bitch next episode, because, like, I'm pretty sure in the promos we see her laying down, like, the reefs and stuff in front of Finn's locker, so she's not going to be rude. I don't think the show would make anybody like that be really rude, especially with what's happened. I don't know. That's just purely speculation, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree. I feel like in this upcoming episode that we're not going to see anything negative. We're only going to have memories of Finn, and I don't know if we're going to have flashbacks. That's a good question. Maybe not. I don't think by the track listing that we have that we're going to have any flashbacks, and that, well, if anything, we're going to have one song that's going to repeat itself. I won't spoil anyone who hasn't seen anything yet, but...
Yeah, well, in interviews, like, I actually just recently read one from Harry Shum Jr., who plays Mike Chang, like, who's going to be in the episode. He says that, like, they sing tunes from... he said that they sing songs or just, like, have a few little moments where they sing stuff that Finn has previously done on the show. But there's only one song that's properly recorded that seems to be properly recorded by one of the characters from a song that he's done. So I don't know, it's odd. I mean, I wouldn't mind if, like, they're just randomly singing some like, I don't know, songs that he's done that are famous. So I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just weird. Sometimes, like, the interviews just seem to be contradicting each other, so I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know what to expect for a lot of this upcoming episode, so I guess we'll see how feelsy we're going to get during this upcoming large Finn tribute episode called The Quarterback. Okay, no, so that sets up the Bree enemy in the upcoming season of Glee. We end the episode with an awesome diner scene. Santana says that she can't do anything else in the industry because she's tied down to the yeast infection company. She signed something that said her compensation and pay will come through boxes of that yeast infection brand. So unfortunately, she's only going to be paying that, and she won't be able to do anything else, apparently. So it's like signing your soul.
She doesn't say that, does she?
I don't know.
She doesn't say...
I'm pretty sure she said something to that effect. I'm not sure, though. Well,
I know that she's only gotten paid in the yeast infection stuff, but, like, I don't think they're restricting her from doing anything else at all.
I have no clue. I really don't. I thought that... I wrote the note that she did when I was doing it, and that's what my memory best serves, but you could possibly be right. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure it's not even important, because I feel like we're not going to have this yeast infection storyline carried over, as I said, so I don't know. We'll see. Kurt joins the work at the diner all of a sudden. He shows up and is like, hey, I hope you're ready for me. So they're all working together now. And then at one point, Rachel's saying something like, we're all so successful, but we're working at a diner. I feel like I'm in Smash season 1. And I was like, thank God for referencing something as specific as not only Smash, but season 1 of it. Oh my God. Anyone who knows me well enough from all my podcasts knows that I was on Smash Chat, all about that NBC show. And that's fun that they did it on Glee. They recognized the show itself.
I think it's also because, like, they were sort of poking fun at Smash, because Smash got cancelled after 2 seasons, and here we are on season 5 of Glee. Especially when, like, there were, like, everyone was comparing Smash and Glee back when Smash first started. Right. Like, I never watched Smash, but, like, you just could hear about, like, everyone thinking Smash was the adult version of Glee. So it's just funny, like, Glee was saying, haha, we are here and you're not.
Oh, well, that's mean. I don't think it was meant to be like that. I thought it was meant to be a call out to their fellow brethren and be like, we're here to support you. Like, we know you had a good Glee's thing going bitch. For a while.
Glee is not a team player. Glee is a bitch.
Well, as much as Glee can be a bitch, they are sad for their fallen members. And it's pretty obvious next week that they're going to be sad for that. And I think that...
No, I'm not saying anything like that.
No, I know you're not, but I'm saying that... Smash was a fallen member too, just as much as Cory Monteith died, a lot of actors lost their job, and I know that's nowhere near the seriousness of someone dying, but a large amount of the same crowd that watches Glee watches Smash, so that's why I think it wouldn't be a bitchy thing to say. I think it'd be a reference to the crossover people who watch both. But that's just me. I don't know. It was supposed to be a fun line, not to be interpreted. Kurt makes them pledge that they'll all stay in New York City for at least 2 years to search for success, thus setting up these seasons 6 and 7, naturally, as we already know, are going to be happening, because those were already bought by Fox, so that's that.
No, 5 and 6.
5 and 6, sorry, yeah. Okay, no, so...
I'm pretty sure it's going to finish at 6.
All of a sudden, Peter, I'm not going to pronounce his last name right, Ficinelli, the dad from... Edward Cullen's dad from Twilight. He's the producer that was from Funny Girl. He shows up and he says, oh, hey, Rachel, I'd like to order a whole cake. She goes, just a cake? And he's like, yeah, She's like, oh, all right. And he's like, yeah, could you write on it, Rachel, congratulations on your role in Funny Girl? And she's like, blah, 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 because she wins the part of Fanny. And at that, the three in New York City go back home and start singing Let It Be, and New Directions also sings it, ending out the episode with the random ensemble number of the episode of Glee. And that is it for episode 502, Tina in the Sky with Diamonds. Jack, why was it called that if it was Tina Strong, but it had nothing to do with, I mean, maybe like Tina's fame, I guess, right?
Are you familiar with the
song is about song? Drugs. I know it's about drugs.
And you know it's Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds?
Yeah, yeah.
Which is LSD?
Yeah, yeah. And that's always okay. Rumor people are always arguing over if that's true or not.
No, that's definitely true. Have you heard the song?
Yeah, I have Tina in the sky with diamonds. I know, I made it fun.
Like with, yeah, I can't really sing it right now, but like with Looking Glass
Eyes. You can't sing ever.
I know, I can't sing. I'm not a good singer. Yeah, but it's good. I did enjoy this episode, and I'm ready to be like finished with like, because I feel like these first three episodes are sort of getting everything out of the way. Like I feel like, okay, so the first episode we've got Clan engaged. This episode we find out Rachel did get the role of Funny Girl. Next episode we'll have to deal with the Finn and Corey passing, and then I'm ready for just episode 4 and onwards just to be dealing with the storylines of season 5, and that's where I hope Ryder and Unique will kick in.
Yeah, I agree, but we have a very important episode of Glee Chat to record after Thursday's airing. I will make any promises about when and where that'll come out, because the ultimate yay-sayer or naysayer is our lovely host, John. He will let us know when we're recording. I'm assuming we're going to do it after, but I won't get your hopes up high. I'm not sure where we're going to fit it in the week, because this week was a bit of a hellhole trying to get Glee Chat together, but Mitch and Jack came together to support your all feels and give you some Demi Lovato love, and Jack to give you some Unique love that I don't really share, but that's okay. Okay, so that's all we have for Glee Chat episode 66. If you want to write in, go to the Hypeable post and we'll read your comments for the episode we just recorded on the next episode of Glee Chat, and give us your feelings about what you think next week's going to be, or after the episode airs, you can give us your feelings on there so that we can get some Finn feels there, and always tweet us at Glee_chat. I believe we have an underscore in there, right, Jack?
And I think so.
Yeah, we have an underscore in all of them. All right, you'll find it if you Google it. That's what everyone would do anyway.
Except for the Instagram.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's a good point. You can follow us on Instagram, just at Glee Chat. And that's fun because we post fun things, and apparently Roxanne says, I post way too many selfies on there. So I'm going to go post a selfie right now and tell her, look, there's another one.
Mish, did you see what I posted on there about the Tina in the Scarlet Diamonds?
No, what'd you post?
Go look at it. It's like Tina's face in like with stars around her.
Oh, God, that's funny. I love it. I love it.
I found it on Tumblr. I thought it was the funniest thing.
All right, guys, so we should have a larger crowd for episode 67 of Glee Chat. Until then, this is Mitch and Jack bidding you farewell. Have a good day, guys.
Bye.